Here we are downtown Phoenix, Arizona, 3rd Street in Washington. And what we're doing is we're making sure that we got in the middle of the mess here. And the one thing that I wanted to accomplish is I wanted to make sure that we had every opportunity to get everybody's perspective on this whole Obamacare thing. But not only that, but how people are relating to each other. Oh, man, we got the television, the media, and we have Phoenix Police Department down here making sure that here in Arizona, all under in a sea of Obama people, wear my firearm. But I'm a wimp, man. I'll tell you, I'm standing here next to Chris. You know, he's a good-looking young black man with an AR-15. You know, standing here and just feet away, we have law enforcement and we got the Secret Service coming by to say hello. So say hi, Chris.
Hello.
You know, and why are you here with an AR-15?
Because this is Arizona and I can do that.
Why? And how is that you can do it? Because that's the law in a lot of other places, but I'm not getting the impression that it's being protected other places than like here with Phoenix Police Department. How have you come in contact with law enforcement? Have they talked to you?
Yeah, they've actually talked to me, and a lot of them have said, I appreciate what you're doing, and I think it's awesome. A lot, like three or four of them have actually approached me and told me that they were in complete agreement with what I was doing.
And what are you doing?
I'm openly carrying a Glock 17 and an AR-15, expressing my Second Amendment rights.
Now, do you think it was important to do it here? I mean, what prompted this? Was it William Kostrick that was in New Hampshire, or did you have planned on it doing it after or before that incident? I mean, what was it that prompted you to do this?
Well, I planned on doing it at the Tea Party, but I can't remember for what reason. I was, like, in a rush, and I carried concealed, but I didn't grab my AR. I think I didn't have a sling at the time. So this is the next event.
Yeah, bullets in that magazine?
Absolutely. 62 grain steel core penetrator.
Woo! Now the thing is that we're standing 2 feet away from Al Ramirez, which is the Confrontation Prevention Squad. Now they call it the community service, whatever. But we've been working for like the past 15 years together, making sure that our rights are protected. And a lot of the reason that they do this is also because the Phoenix Police Department, they feel they're in a better position by making sure that the people's rights are protected and that law enforcement doesn't break the law themselves. Because there's been a tradition of us filing suit. So it's worked out better here. Let me just ask you if Al will say a word. You know, Al, things going all right, everybody being peaceful?
Everything's fine. So far, no problem. Everything's very peaceful.
And how many firearms have you seen here?
Several.
Over 10?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You know, so this is an armed society, which is what? It's polite. Well, you guys be polite, too. And we're having fun. I'm starting to see more and more friends that were encouraged to come down with their firearms. It's been amazing. Yeah, the only problem is there's so many of them, they're making us get up on the sidewalk. We'll be back here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, live from the Obamathon down here on downtown Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone, or the times they are a-changing. I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's
hey everybody,
still in spin.
It's Jet Lacy from Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. We're doing a live remote broadcast here from downtown, where Obama is speaking to the VFW, and we're trying to get in touch with Ernie here. And is he on the line? Once again, my name is Jet Lacy, and I'm going to be having a show here on Freedom's Phoenix coming up real soon. But I run the board for Ernie's show every day, and to be honest, I've never done this before. But I'm not very nervous. I just wasn't prepared to come on the show for the first time, and You know, it's really exciting. This is the third time that President Obama has been, you know, here in Phoenix during his 7 months as president, which is kind of strange. And, you know, with all the things that went on with William Kostrick the other day, with him carrying a loaded weapon to a presidential event that caused a great amount of controversy. I don't know, many of you may have seen the video with Chris Matthews, and he sort of attacked him. Okay, we got the IP address to reconnect Ernie by the via the Comrex. We'll do that in just a second here. Anyway, what I was saying is there was William Kostrick was going through, you know, just in New Hampshire at an event for President Obama, and he got into a little bit of trouble because he was open carrying. You know, it sort of made national news and a big deal about it and everything like that. And so what we decided to do is do a remote broadcast from down when Obama was coming to speak to the VFW. And, you know, a lot of us in the group went down armed. There's like dozens and dozens of people this time armed. And Ernie's actually got a police escort to protect his rights. You know, the Phoenix police have done a great job, and they have pretty much said that we are here to protect your individual liberty. And so they we met with them Friday after the show. And anyway, they're down there kind of following Ernie around to make sure that Ernie and everybody else that is down there, you know, their rights are protected. And I think that's a great thing. We don't really expect the police to really, largely, many of us don't expect the police to protect our rights. But in fact, that's really what they're there for. That's the only role of government in and of itself is supposed to be protect the rights of the individual. And with that, you know, as long as the Phoenix police is stepping up, they've obviously decided to make a decision whether to follow, you know, the beliefs of the large government people that want to take all of our guns away. You know, Ernie told them that they have a choice to make. Choice is, you know, are you with us or are you against us? Ernie's talking in my ear a lot here. He wants me to try to hook up the Comrex, but what I'm trying to do is not have any dead airspace. So if you'll give me just a moment here, we got 4 minutes till the break. And I think I can ramble on with you for another 4 minutes and we'll be all right. But it's funny, I got Ernie talking to my ear, and that's one of the main things that Ernie always says, don't talk in my ear while I'm doing the show. And that's what he's doing to me because he's nervous as well. Again, this is our first remote broadcast. But, you know, what's going on today is some of the most important things that could possibly happen in these times for us in America. There's a friend of mine named Ed Vallejo that I largely credit with waking me up, along with Ernie and another radio host that's on his own on a Genesis network that's not, you know, kind of in competition with us that I won't mention. But I credit him with largely waking me up, along with Ernie and Ed. And Ed says rights are like muscles. If you don't use them, they atrophy. And that is so true. And what these people are down there doing, they are exercising their rights. They're exercising the right to free speech. They're exercising the right to bear arms. And they're doing it in a gentle manner with, you know, they're also armed with their minds. There's a lot of free minds down there. But yet there's also a lot of people on the other side that are pushing for Obama's healthcare initiatives for the socialized healthcare. And, you know, that's another reason why we're down there. And it's about the open exchange of ideas. You know, there's a lot of people that feel differently in this country. And the fact of the matter is, even though people might feel differently, the open discourse of exchanged information among individuals is the most important thing to the preservation of liberty. And we absolutely must keep those lines of communication open. Because if we don't communicate, we always make presuppositions about what other people are saying and not about how people really feel. You know, very few of us are mind readers, and the ones that are, they're not always right. Now, are they? So you kind of wonder about if they're really telling the truth or not. The large percentage of us are not mind readers.
Ed Vallejo's on the line.
Ed Vallejo's on the line? All right, let's go to Ed Vallejo. I'd love to hear from Ed. Hello, Ed.
Jet, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother. I'm winging it here today. We got the connection broken down between Ernie and...
Oh, you know I'm listening.
Absolutely. You're the one that one of the people I credit with waking me up. And rights are like muscles, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You have to exercise them or they'll atrophy and die.
That's right. So are you down there today?
No, I'm not down there. Actually, I'm at another location watching everything and making sure that, you know, if things go bad, I can go in there and help extract. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, the Phoenix Police Department is being very helpful. And like I was saying...
And I'm really glad of that, so that means I won't have to act.
So then you can relax and have your voice be heard, which is a powerful voice indeed.
Yes, sir. You know what? One thing I wanted to call in and talk to you about is I'm also watching the media, right? I'm watching the broadcast media and what's going on. And something that I recognized from the very start, all right, was at the very start, they were only showing people that were supporting Obama's health care. They weren't showing any of the protesters. Some of the protesters were in the background, but for the most part of it, they were just talking to people that were supporting him and people of faith, you know, supporting.
Hey, Ed, can you hold on just a minute? We got to come to commercial. We'll be right back in the Ernest Hancock Show.
From the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
You know, well, we're back here at the Ernest Hancock Show, and I think we have a connection going, but do we have it here, Carrie, down at the RBN studio?
I can hear you. I can't hear anything.
I'm back to winging it here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. We're trying to get Ernie back on the line, and we're just going to – do we still have Ed on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Well, so would you want to finish your thought there, Ed?
I was just stating that early this morning they were only showing supporters of Obama's health care plan, and just now Channel 10 News switched over to downtown and they showed Tom Jenny of the American Federation of Patriots and Americans for Prosperity and gave him a good clip up there. That was great.
Well, that's great. Has anyone approached you to be interviewed?
Me? No, I'm not down at the location.
Are you going to head down that way?
I may, now that I know that everything seems to be pretty kosher, but I don't know. From what I understand, it's tough getting down there, and you got to park 5 miles away and walk in.
Have you seen any of the Obama supporters? I understand that there's a lot of Obama supporters down there.
Well, that was all they were showing to begin with. There was maybe 75 to 100 of them, and I guess they walked from location, I don't know, on Washington somewhere, walked down past all of the protesters, and there wasn't any clashes or anything, but from what I understand, there's a lot of police presence down there.
Yeah, from what Al Ramirez, who's the police liaison for the community, as far as protesting and things like that go, you know, he said he kind of let Ernie know what's going on and what corners people were going to be occupying. And I
right.
know Ernie's...
I've worked with,
what's that?
I've worked with Al in the past on the end of the Fed protests out at the Federal Reserve facility at 47th Avenue and McDowell. Yes, there is one. And they're really good. I mean, anytime that there's been problems or anything, they've stepped in between and helped solve everything. So I'm really confident that Al's doing a bang-up job down there.
Yeah, in November, you know, the end of the Fed. Actually, I heard you and Ernie speak that day, and that was the very first event I ever went to as an activist. I didn't speak to anybody. I brought my own sign. You know, I had found out from the Ron Paul meetup group, but I hadn't, you know, been to any meetings or participated in any way. But I was so moved by your speech and Ernie's speech that I was like, wow, I think I've found a home. And it took me a little bit over a month to sort of get the gumption up. You know, I finally approached you at the Bill of Rights Day at the Wrigley Mansion here in Phoenix. That was sort of it, you know. And then you took me to the Arizona Breakfast Club. The rest is history. And I just wanted to say I thank you for that, for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jet. It's the same thing pretty much that happened to me in 2004. I kind of worked my way out of the woodwork, and then when I saw Badnarik got the Libertarian nomination in 2004 for president, it's like, oh, wow, there's somebody I would really like to see be president, and I jumped into it with both feet, and I've just done everything I possibly could to further the rights and freedoms of Americans, and it's infectious. I mean, other people see people that are working and trying to help free our country and take it back from non-constitutional or over-constitutional actions, and it's infectious. You know, people see, oh, look, somebody else is doing some good. They're doing something. I can do something, too. And they get involved just like you have. And, man, I'm so glad that you're there, and you've really been a up-and-coming, you know, outspoken person. One thing I really like about you, Jet, is you try and bring humor out. You see humor in things where other people are just so dead serious that they're tightened up. You know, we need to loosen up a little bit. We need some humor in there. We need some personalism to let all the people know that we aren't terrorists, okay? We're the terrorized. We're the ones that are so terrorized of a government that's doing so much crap that it's not supposed to, and it's costing us so much money that we got to do something. I mean, it's the, you know, fight or flight, and we got to fight.
Absolutely. It's just like, I don't know if any of you have seen that cartoon where a pelican has a frog in its mouth. And all you can see is the frog's arms coming out of the mouth of the pelican with his arms, his hands are around the neck of the pelican. And that's sort of the way I feel that we are, you know, what's happening right now. If we don't stand up for ourselves at this final hour, then what kind of person are we? You know, it's just like Ernie said, when the revolution comes down, you know, how I think it's going to come, you should read this book called Unintended Consequences. And that book, you know, it's kind of like this multiple timeline book. It jumps back and forth in time. But one of the stories is about this Jewish gentleman that's in the Warsaw ghettos. And they actually stood up against the Nazis. When he was given an interview or talking to a young man later on in the book, he was saying, many of what the people wished, you know, the Jews that were in those ghettos, they only wished that they would have fought back. They don't think they did anything else wrong other than not fighting back. And if we don't fight back, then maybe we'll regret. But I don't want to regret. How about you, brother?
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Those that won't stand for anything, those that won't stand for something will fall for anything.
Absolutely, brother. Well, hey, if you want to hold on just a minute, we'll see if we can get... We can see if we can get Ernie on the line here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show, and we'll be back in just a minute.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Hey, everybody, we're back here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show on RBN Network from the lovely Freedom's Phoenix Studios. And we still have Ed Vallejo on the line. I'll get to Ed in just a second. We have more bounce than the ounce in our activism here down in Phoenix. And I think that's part of the reason why that, you know, and Ed can chime in on this whenever he feels like it. I just think that we are the tip of the spear. I know that's a term that gets used a lot nowadays. But we are the tip of the spear in the activism realm. What do you think, Ed?
The individual that feels things are so wrong that he has to do something about it, that's the tip of the spear.
That's okay? Right.
We might have a lot more people here that feel that way and are getting vocal than across the country, but we're the ones that basically jumped up and stood up when Ron Paul was running for president and said, hey, look, you know, things are so bad, we need an honest guy in here. And we pointed at Ron Paul. And that's where a lot of it started for me.
Absolutely. And that's where it started for me as well. Actually, before I was ever even involved, I started seeing those Ron Paul revolution signs all over town. And, you know, there were signs that say, Google Ron Paul. So that's exactly what I did. I Googled Ron Paul. And I sort of knew who he was ahead of time. And, you know, I'd seen some of the videos that he had done. But I wasn't quite sure about what he was all about. And, you know, I was like, man, there is a gentleman in Congress right now that feels exactly, almost exactly, about things the way that I do. And I never followed a candidate before. You know, I didn't trust him. But I sure have followed Ron Paul, and I continue to follow Ron Paul.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, he is continuing his campaign of educating the public and empowering the individual with his campaign for liberty. So
yeah, that's right.
I agree there.
The revolution only began with Ron Paul. It's only the first step. The revolutions always start in the mind. You know, and that's something that Ernie says all the time, and it's so true. You know, when our founding fathers, you know, when by the time the first shot was fired, you know, when the usurpations, when they finally started trying to take their ammunition, that revolution in the mind was already in full swing. And I sort of feel that way about what's going on here now. You know, people that care about their liberties and aren't the type of people just to go out and try to hurt others, especially libertarians. The main thing about being a libertarian is do no harm. And if you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. And then we don't have a problem. The minute that you start with, start not leaving me alone, that's when we end up having a problem. And even then, at that point, we're very tolerant. You know, the American people are very tolerant people. And we take these usurpations of our rights and we take it and take it and take it until we cannot take it anymore. There is still the American spirit that I believe that lives in each one of us. And we all go through this sort of, I don't know, transformation. Once you start realizing what's going on, you just have this transformation. And it's like the usual stages of loss. You know, you kind of go through denial and grief and depression and anger. And then you finally get to acceptance. And just because you accept it, it doesn't mean that you're not going to do something about it. And once you hit that acceptance level and you start doing something, you become effective, and it becomes something that's just part of your life rather than this worry or this deep, sick feeling in the pit of your stomach.
Well, I think the biggest problem, Jet, is that a lot of the things that are coming to a head now were started long before you and I were born. Okay, long before you and I were born, and in many cases, before our parents were born. That's how long ago these usurpations began, and they've incrementally got us to where we are now. So the normal person that says, they realize what's going on, they say, how did we get like this, you know, and how can we get back? And they want to get back to it right away, when it took, you know, decades to get to where we are. I mean, 1913 hurt us as a nation. Right? When before that, everything that everybody earned, they kept everything. They didn't pay taxes on what they earned. And when the United States needed money, they printed it up and they spent it and didn't owe anything to anybody. Okay? When they created the Federal Reserve, that was the first usurpation I can see that directly affects everybody in the country. And it started us on that downhill slope as a small snowball. And now we're working almost, some of us are working half of a year to pay for all this crap the government's doing that they're not allowed to do to start with.
I agree with you there. I think that that's when the avalanche started. You know, avalanches sort of start from maybe a couple powders of, you know, snow powders just start down, and then it picks up steam. I mean, there's those of us that believe that the ink wasn't even dry on the Bill of Rights before the usurpation started. I mean, you had these big government founders back then, like Hamilton and John Adams, that were advocates of a big central government. And then there was the anti-federalists like James Madison and Thomas Jefferson that believed the opposite. And so I believe the usurpations, at least the attempts at usurpations, began before the ink was even dry.
Right.
You know, and this is the Federal Reserve, this is the third central bank that the United States has had. You know, they've been eliminated twice before, and we can do this again. We cannot take control of our country if we do not take control of our money. Our money is sort of the way that we say to the world we're open for business. This is the way we say, okay, we're a sovereign nation. This is our, you know, our unit of trade. Do you want to trade with us? And then, but that now, private individuals, private companies, private families own the Federal Reserve, and we have absolutely zero control over our money. Right, Ed?
Yes. It's all controlled by a private corporation known as the Federal Reserve.
And who owns those? Who owns those, the Federal Reserve?
You know, that's something that the individual, anybody that wants to ask the question, who owns this Federal Reserve, they need to go out and they need to research it themselves, okay? It's too easy nowadays for somebody to ask a question and demand an answer rather than doing the work themselves and going out and finding what the truth is.
That's right. That's an excellent point, Ed, because anything that I say here today, I just want you to know that I know this is Ernie's show and it's Ernie's thing, but I can only speak for myself. Anything that I say to you today, I don't want you to believe me for 1 second. I don't want you to believe anything what anybody tells you. I want you to go out and find out this information for yourself. And once you do that, then it's something that you will know in your heart. There won't be any doubt or question in your mind if you go out and find these things out that I'm saying to you on your own. And, you know, there's a lot of propaganda out there, but there is no doubt that the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation. Hey, look who we got in the house. We got the man, Ernest Hancock. Anyway, Ernie just walked into the studio, and we're going to get a real show going on here now. None of my rookie errors going on here. Hey, Ernie, how you doing, man? How was it down there?
Hey, it's good to be back. Hey, you know, I apologize. We were testing out new equipment. $8,000, and we got something. You know, one thing.
Good job, Ernie.
Yeah, good
thanks.
Job.
You know, what we had wanted to accomplish today, and I'm sorry it wasn't to where we could get, we could hear you coming back in. Go ahead, I'm on two, turn one off. What happened was is that we were in a situation to where we had a really great guest by name Ken Royce. A lot of people know him as Boston Tea Party. And he wrote a lot of gun enthusiast technical manuals. He had The Hologram of Liberty, which is a very good book about the creation of the Constitution, what was really going on behind the scenes. And it would have been great to have him on today. Hopefully we'll be able to get him back. But if not, you know, we'll get him tomorrow or as soon as I can get him back on, because today would have been such a perfect day to have him comment on what's going on. Because he wrote the book Molon LeBay, which was kind of, you know, it's come and take it, you know, if you dare. And it's was about the founding of the Free State Project in Wyoming and how that would go. And it was a kind of a fictional novel, but it had a lot of good stuff going for it. Now, the main thing is that today what we wanted to accomplish, which is one of the things that Ken was always advocating, is that we be open about expressing and using our freedoms, because if you don't, they go away. And it's kind of been pretty obvious by the reaction we had by someone going to a political protest armed. And William in Kostrick, is that how you say his name? Yeah, Kostrick. William Kostrick. And he called me this morning wanting to know how it went. I go, hey, man, you're 3 hours ahead of us. We ain't even got to it yet, so chill out. You know, we'll be there in a little bit. Now, what we'll go ahead and do is we want to make sure that you got a really good understanding of what happened down there. And I'm going to try and relay that to you. And in the next hour, we'll get all detailed about it. And we'll make sure that you understand what's going on. Because from our perspective, we know a lot of these guys. We know a lot of the people. We understand what their, you know, concerns are. And a lot of law enforcement, they just, you know, they want to keep their job. And a lot of times, a lot of them are very supportive of someone, you know, doing what
I
we did.
I have Kenneth on the line.
And, you know, Carrie says we got Ken on the line. Ken, you there?
I'm here, Ernie. Hello.
Oh, great. Do you know what's been going on, what we're doing?
Vaguely.
Well, we went down to Obama's here in Arizona, and he was addressing the veterans of foreign wars.
Uh-huh.
And what happened was, I didn't even know that he was coming to town until Thursday when we're calling law enforcement. They have a group called the Confrontation Prevention Squad. And we've been working with them for 15 years and making sure that, yeah, we're going to be down there. We're going to be have our guns here. We're going to be doing this, making this point. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, cool. You know, as long as we know what's going on, they're there to keep the other officers from freaking out.
Right.
So what happened was we had a meeting Friday here at the studio, and we had these two, a sergeant and another officer, come in. And we talked to them. We said, look, we're going to go down and cover the Obama protests and such down there. But we're going armed, and we, you know, it's legal. We know this. You're going to be there to protect our individual rights against men in black with the curly things in their ear and dark sunglasses.
Yeah.
Or you're not. I mean, you know, we're good either way. We just need to know, FYI. Okay. So, how do you guys want to handle this? We're going to be down there, Ernie. We're going to take care of you, man. Don't worry about it. I go, I may not be the only one with a firearm. All of a sudden, all the gun lists started going, and people are talking, and people are coming down here and going. One young man, he's in his 20s. He's been a really good activist. He's a stable, excellent, well-spoken young man, and he happens to be black. And he brought down wearing a white shirt. He looked like a Mormon missionary or a Louis Farrakhan. And he goes down there in his dark slacks, white long sleeve shirt and tie, and slinging an AR-15 with a magazine in it, with it loaded. Now, he kept one out of the chamber and on safe in case somebody wanted to get stupid, you know, some liberal wanted to go pulling triggers. But, you know, the thing is that all the police officers in the Secret Service around, they're just there to protect our rights to carry our firearms at an Obama protest. Mm-hmm. Now, most of us were on the corner along with a lot of the people in support of Obamacare that got bussed in by Union De La, whatever. And so we're doing fine. A liberal legislator down there at Kirsten Sinema that just got interviewed for The Daily Show will play in a few weeks. I was talking to her about that. And we've been on the other side of the aisle and overlapped on several things. But the thing is that here in Arizona, what we wanted to make sure people understood, and Chris Matthews went all freaked out on the guy in New Hampshire, is in Arizona, I can't remember the last protest or thing we went to that we didn't carry our firearms. I mean, that's just natural here. And the officers here, they're, you know, as long as you just have somebody telling them they're not supposed to tackle you, you know, they don't. So we're doing all right here. And that was the point that we wanted to make. We wanted to be live down there, got the firearms, no big deal. My son came, one of my sons, with his friend and his friend's brother and everybody and a lot of other guys. I probably saw, two dozen firearms, and I wasn't even looking that hard. So this is just how peaceful, and I bet you nothing happens today. It's no big deal. But where are the Republicans? All the Republicans, I mean, the real activists are down there, a lot of libertarians and such. The Republicans are blocks away at some talk radio thing they got inside a restaurant. And they're all sitting there, you know, back slapping each other and going on about how great they are and how bad they are. But none of them are down there. You know, I'm just, you know, come on, you know, let's, you know, engage, talk to these people. And we interviewed some on the far left, and it was amazing, and you'll agree with this. Their biggest concern was you'll have the conservatives and the right over here are biting tooth and nail to make sure that they get to keep their socialist programs of Medicare and Social Security and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But somehow there's some different principle involved when they want to have health care. And I'm saying, hey, you're talking to the wrong guy, man. I see exactly where you're coming from, you know. So when we come back, I want to make sure we spend a lot of time with Ken, because it's he was tip of the spear on a lot of this stuff. A lot of the stuff that people understand about exercising their rights, about what the law is, about choosing the right firearm for the right job, you know, is Ken. But the one thing that I want to talk to him about when we come back is his new book. His new book is A Nation Under Surveillance. And I saw that. I'm going, oh, if he isn't the guy to write it. Because Ken has been very careful about how he gives his information out, about how you can even contact him, you know, how he uses phones, how he puts his name on anything. And, you know, it's been very interesting over the years to see Ken practice what he preaches about how to be secure from unwanted meddling by the man or anybody else. So we only got 40 seconds, and I didn't want to, you know, I know once I get you started, man, you'll just go and then we'll have to cut you off. But go ahead and take 30 seconds to introduce yourself, how the audience should know you.
Thanks for having me on, Ernie. It's Ken Royce. I'm the author of the Boston Tea Party books, and my 12th and last Boston book is called One Nation Under Surveillance, Privacy from the Watchful Eye. And it's out now. Amazon carries it, and it's on our website at www.javelinpress.com. And I look forward to telling you more about it when we come back.
And we look forward to hearing more about it when we come back. Ken Royce, a lot of people know him as Boston Tea Party. Is that his real name? Do you know his real name? Do you know what he looks like? Well, yes, I do. Because, and you're speaking at the Freedom Summit again.
That's right.
You know, coming up in the beginning of December, you spoke at previous Freedom Summits and did a great job. We look forward to having you again. We got a fantastic lineup at the Freedom Summit. And, man, I'm telling you, you want to stay tuned to hear what Ken has to say. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I'm back here and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, in studio. From the streets of the Obama Nation. And we had a good time. And a lot of people were all nervous all weekend and getting all worked up about it. I got a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails. People were worried about, you're going to go down there with a gun. Do we need to bring bail money? Well, you can just give me money, you know, and I'll bail myself out if I need to. So what happened was, well, we'll get into it in the next hour, and I want to do that. But first, I want to give an opportunity for Ken Royce to introduce himself, because in the beginning of a lot of the understanding of the role guns would play in the even a love-lution, you know, the Boston Tea Party had a lot to say about it. But it was more important than, you know, defending your rights. It was about why. You know, how did this happen? Where did this philosophy come from that created a heritage and a culture that would even allow for the possibility of us going down today and have a black man with an AR-15 stand there and not be molested by the police and the Secret Service and support just demonstrating his rights? Oh, yeah, he had a Glock 17 on his hip, too. Mm-hmm. And so this is tell us a little bit about that. We just got a few minutes here, and then we have a one-minute real short break. We'll come back for a short segment. Then we have a whole hour we can go at it, Ken. But I want to make sure that you kind of give a kind of a battlefield, you know, view of how our rights and our ability to protect ourselves was created, this culture was created, and hopefully it looks like it might be coming back. You know, what's your view on this?
Well, historically, you've really only seen a culture of individual rights happen in a low population density, which North America certainly had for most of its history. And there are other elements that contributed to the establishment of, up until then, the freest country that had ever been in human history. What's difficult now is we don't have the low population density, but we do have the trajectory and the ethos and the mythology and quite a bit of a practice of individual liberty, and that's coming in conflict with a greater population density and the cry therefrom for more and more laws to prohibit or regulate unreasonable behavior. So whether or not we can continue a culture of even modified individual rights such as we have in a country of 300 million remains to be seen. But, you know, today with people showing up at the Obama protest, being peacefully and lawfully armed is a very good start, because it conditions not only fellow Phoenix residents, but the police in general, that Americans and Arizonans in particular, for example, are often an armed people. And if you don't use your right, exercise your right, it will atrophy, it will wither away from disuse. And it's as if over time you never had that right. So I'm glad the protest went well, and I applaud those who peacefully wore their lawful handguns and rifles and made a good point.
You know, the one reason that they created the Confrontation Prevention Squad of the Phoenix Police Department was, you know, this was the exact kind of atmosphere that was going on in the early mid-90s. You know, mm-hmm. It was Ruby Ridge, yeah, and Waco and that kind of stuff, and the militia rise and that. And it was easier for the man, whoever that is, to demonize individuals that were advocating for individual rights, and part of that being armed. And mm-hmm. it built up into, finally they had all these militias being raided, they had the Viper militia arrests and all this stuff. And there was a time I was at Janet Reno came in early 1994, and I was wearing I mean, I had a sign and was arrested as these same guys watched it happen. The Secret Service and local, they orchestrated because I wouldn't put the sign down. Mm-hmm. And now it's the same guys that are out there guaranteeing 15 years later that I get to exercise my free speech and my Second Amendment. What's changed? We'll talk about it when we get back.